Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, where you hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we sit down with Grant Bowie, the chief executive officer of MGM China, on the downturn in the market there and what it means for the MGM Cotai development. The bad news coming from Macau recently hasn't slowed down, from lower gaming revenues to the Chinese crackdown on corruption to questions about the mass market. Macau is struggling clearly. Grant Bowie, the CEO of MGM China, has felt it only too strongly. As the company develops its newest property in the Cotai area of Macau, Bowie is unsure of how big the market will be when it opens in 2 years, how many tables he will be allocated, and how often Chinese customers can visit. He talks about why MGM Cotai will be different from its neighbors and how he believes the current non-gaming development in Macau is the right thing to do for the future of the SAR. He spoke with me from his offices in Macau in April. Grant Bowie, thanks for joining us on the Global Gaming Business Podcast. It's good to talk to you again. It's been almost a year now. I'll see you in May at G2E Asia again, and it's going to be an interesting time. Since we last talked, things have changed quite a bit over there.
I guess it's changed, but within the context of Macau, I guess it's always an environment of constant change, whether it's growth, new properties, whatever. That's the wonderful experience you have in this rapidly changing, emerging marketplace here.
That's for sure. Every time I've been over there, there's something different. I know there's going to be a couple of things different this year when I get over there, so I'm looking forward to it. You know, we've experienced these, 7 or 8 months now of declining revenues, and we're going to run a piece in our magazine in this feature about Union Gaming's views, and they have about 12 or 15 reasons. But in your view, what is the principal reason for the decline in gross gaming revenues in Macau over that time?
Well, I think Union Gaming is obviously pretty well implanted in the market, and I'm not one of those people that actually has one reason. There are obviously a combination. I think, Roger, when we spoke last time, the last 2 years of astronomic growth was such that we all knew at some point in time it was likely to slow at least. And I think we've run into that. There's no question that the issues of China and the transformation of China, both in economic terms and also in terms of the issues of governance and issues that the president is handling, is all having an impact, if nothing else, in terms of consumer confidence. So I think there's a whole series of combinations, both the previous rapid growth, the economic transformation, and some of the structural changes that are going on in China.
You know, there's been a desire over the past few years to increase the premium mass market and the mass market in general in favor of the VIP market. Do you see that happening in this era, or is it going to take a little longer than you'd hoped?
No, I think we're starting to see that, and I think policy-wise, I think there's quite clearly that future growth in gaming is most likely coming in the mass market, because clearly one of the components of diversification is this whole notion that when you diversify, you actually see other components of the business grow. But the area of gaming that we'll see the positive impact of that will be mass, and we see that quite clearly. And so for us, that's clearly been our objective for all the time the property's been open. And what we also understand is you've got to obviously respond to the market conditions at any point in time. And clearly for all of us, now's the point in time where we need to continue to push and address the issues of building our mass business.
You know, some of the questions that we've raised over the years has been about the regulatory regime there. And, you know, people have always said this is the way it's done in Macau. But there's obviously now an increasing eye out for corruption and things of that nature. Do you think the regulatory regime will become more stringent in the next couple of years?
I don't think it's a question of a couple of years. I think, in fact, U.S. operators have come into Macau, and we have continuously seen that level of stringent advancement. Now, it may look different, and may be a slightly different approach, but certainly from our perspective, we run a global compliance strategy, so we do exactly the same in Macau as we would do anywhere around the world, and I've had, obviously, every one of the key U.S. regulators come through Macau, and we take them through that. So I think that's a full sort to say that there is anything, there is any significant issues in terms of the regulatory framework. I think it is clear, though, that the focus and attention in terms of increasing the oversight in some of the areas as that, as the market has grown, has certainly taken place. And so those areas of anti-money laundering and those processes associated with all of that activity of know your customer has become a lot more important, and a lot more focus has been put into that.
Now, we've seen some withdrawal of some of the VIP companies from the market, and they've always claimed it's an economic thing. Is there some regulatory aspect of that as well, that they don't want to go under increased regulatory scrutiny? Certainly, we've seen that in Singapore, where none of them have really applied there.
I think in terms of the gaming promoters, it's actually all economic. It's a question of where they think they can make their money. I think from our perspective, though, that it is also a product of the transformation of the marketplace, and that more importantly, customers are now confident and comfortable coming directly to the gaming operators and building relationships with us. So I think what we're seeing is a transformation of what was that, what was the principal source of driving business into Macau back prior to the opening up of the introduction of the new gaming operator. So to me, this is just another part of the revolutionary transformation of Macau, and I think that's a positive thing. As the biggest gaming destination in the world, clearly we need to keep innovating and keep developing.
Yeah, no question. I think what we're seeing going on there is really becoming a modern gaming jurisdiction in all aspects. Tell me what you think the general decline in the Chinese economy has done to Macau. Has that been a major impact as well?
I think with the changes in China, I think the first thing you always need to look at is consumer confidence. And I think anywhere around the world, which is a consumption economy, there's an awful lot of work goes into trying to understand the confidence of the consumer. And I think because of such significant change taking place, I think the consumers, to a degree, are sitting on the sidelines a little bit, trying to work out where they fit into the future. A lot of our customers are obviously private business men in China, and so they're obviously having to invest an awful lot of time in their own businesses as they move forward. So I think the first critical thing we need to consider is simply business confidence and consumer confidence.
Great. Tell us a little bit about the property you're building on Cotai. I've seen some renderings of that. It looks very impressive, and I hear there's going to be a mansion there that's going to outdo Las Vegas. Tell us a little bit about the details there.
Well, I think what's really important is we're obviously with the smallest operator in town. We're very excited about being able to bring more of the range of the products that MGM as an organization is known for. While we carry the MGM banner on our property, we're actually very lucky that we can obviously tap into all of the components of the MGM product source. So I think from this property, we're not strictly following the lines of MGM, but certainly we're taking and evolving it. So yes, the mansion is coming to Macau, and we know how well that's liked in Las Vegas. We've learned a lot of things from the U.S. experience and added to it. Most importantly is to create that sense of a residential experience inside a very frenetic city. It's your little island or oasis in the middle of what is a very busy city. Interestingly enough, our mansion sits 5 stories in the air, is enclosed, and also will have the internal garden experience, which I think everybody knows and loves about Las Vegas. But also we're looking to redefine other components of entertainment, both in the food and beverage, the retail, and the entertainment itself, as we try to tap into this rapidly transforming Chinese consumer, which is actually looking for different things. And I think one of the critical points for us, Roger, is we realize that it's not just a question of bringing things that have been successful in other parts of the world. It's actually identifying ideas and bringing them and transforming them into a Chinese context. And I think that's the exciting part about how we're trying to evolve and develop our diversification strategy.
Yeah, no question. You've made some really subtle changes at the Peninsula property that have been very well received. So I'm sure you learned a lot there that you're applying in the Cotai property.
We're certainly trying to. And as I said, you know, we're very lucky with the database and the knowledge base that the company has available to us. So everything is made available to us, and we try to work out which of those elements we think will work best in this part of the world and what we would need to do to make it work best for us here.
Sure, no question. Do you have a larger convention and meeting space, a MICE component, at the Cotai property?
I certainly do. It's going to be doubled, and we actually have an opportunity through our expansion phases to double that again. But I think what's really important is it's not a question of just building scale, it's building the right type of product for the developing market out here.
Yeah, there's no question about that. Now, one of the big questions that everybody has is how are the tables going to be allocated? You know, with the 10% increase annually, it just doesn't seem to compute with all the properties opening on Cotai in the next 3 or 4 years. Are you confident that you'll get enough tables over there, or are you going to have to kind of balance out the number of tables with the Peninsula property?
We're confident that whatever and however we are able to gain the right number of tables, we'll be able to operate successfully and effectively. Clearly, we have made an application to the government and asked for a number of tables. We obviously need to focus on how the market's tracking, but clearly, over time, I think we will get the tables we require. But you're right, it is very unclear, and yes, I think what we're really looking at is what is our total gaming capacity and how do we most effectively deploy it throughout the properties that we operate. Working closely with the government, I'm sure that as we get closer to the opening date, because there's really no incentive for the government at this point in time, unfortunately for us, we'd love the certainty, but there's no incentive for the government to necessarily tell us exactly how they see things as they get closer to that time. But we're confident, we're planning for it, we know how to respond to whatever the situation may determine.
And I guess making it more complicated is the evolution that you've been speaking about, toward the premium and the mass market as opposed to the VIP market. So you're going to have to balance those tables out as well, I would imagine.
Well, that's a constant thing, and I think that's one of the things that as an organization we're probably best at. You know, when you're the smallest, you actually learn to be more resourceful, I guess. And I think we've probably got some of the best professionals in our gaming team in terms of handling that situation. But yes, we're already seeing quite a number of tables moving towards the mass. You know, we're way over the 50% in terms of mass tables versus VIP tables mm-hmm. now. But frankly, we're pragmatic, and we will identify opportunities and put the product where the customer obviously demonstrates the demand for it.
So I guess you're going to keep an eye on the VIP operators that you work with and see what works best for the company and for the properties in terms of, you know, where you're going to allocate those tables.
Yeah, clearly we're very lucky. We have now quite mature relationships with a number of the core operators in Macau, and they're the people that we want to work with and continue to work with. I think what we saw is, it's with the rapid expansion, there was a rapid expansion of derivatives and sort of newcomers to the marketplace. A number of those have found it difficult, and it's really reverting back to the core operators, which we're very strong and have a good, strong relationship with, and we're working with them.
Great.
It's clearly a difficult time for them because they obviously need to transform their own business.
Yeah, no.
The junket business has been a fundamental component of the Macau market. There's an awful lot of Macau citizens who are invested in the junket business and work in the junket business, and clearly it's just a question of how we balance that and how we work with the best operators and how we help them evolve and develop their business to ensure that we have the best product and the best can deliver the best outcomes for both our customers and our operators that we deal with.
Sure. Well, I guess another balancing act is is the employees. You know, with all these casinos, casino resorts opening in Cotai, there's going to be a real demand for more employees. Are you confident there's enough Macau citizens to fill the roles that they will be able to fill, or are you hoping the government kind of expands their foreign workers program?
I think this is probably the most challenging area of our business, because it's not just about people, it's about skills. And clearly, we support and advocate the government's position that Macau is about quality. And I think that's really the piece that we need to work through collaboratively and collectively. We're investing an awful lot of time and effort into developing our local talent and retaining our local talent. Clearly, as businesses grow, we're looking for ways to produce the quality outcomes, and if we are finding it more difficult to find the resources, we need to use technologies and other ways to try and improve those efficiencies. So that is certainly, I think, going to be a perennial work in progress in Macau as we continue to balance up the requirements, and as rightly so, providing the benefits of the development to the local people, but at the same time understanding that any destination and any business that aspires for excellence is really in a global marketplace and needs to find that talent from a global workforce and transfer those skills to the local thing. So I don't have a definitive answer, but the bottom line is we will continue to be successful and we'll continue to work hard. I guess what's really important is we're lucky MGM is a strong brand, a strong name, and the amount that we're investing in developing our team, I hope, will mean that people will want to work for us as we move forward, and that's going to be really important.
Well, I know you've got a base of good, loyal employees. I know you were one of the first companies to boost the wages over there just a few weeks ago, so I'm sure you're going to be able to retain the people who really believe in the company.
Now, it's interesting here. We have over 50% of our workforce has actually been here since the opening of the property, and I think that's really very positive, and that's something that we see as a great asset, and once we add additional global skills, particularly looking for Macau people who went overseas looking for their futures, and funnily enough now, their future may actually be back in Macau. So that's one of the things we're looking to do, is tap into that talented pool of Macau people who have actually left Macau and now are looking at opportunities to come back.
Absolutely, that's a great idea. Well, I just have one more question, Grant. Do you see like the bottoming out of this decline anytime soon? Is there a bottom at this point?
You know what? It's now to the point, it's not about bottom. It's just about responding to the market conditions as you see them at a particular point in time. I think it's fair to say that once we've gone through the full 12-month cycle, and obviously, you know, June, July is when things started to obviously slow down, Those year-to-year comps become a little more understandable.
Right.
But the numbers we're seeing at the moment are obviously still trying to work through the realities of the past versus of what our future's going to look like.
So right.
Based on the numbers we're seeing now, it looks like things are stabilizing. But I think we just got to be very circumspect, and we just have to keep our head down. Probably not talk too much to journalists and try to provide, some sort of speculation of what's happening, because, you know, I'm a very simple business person. I just want to work within the business, do as good as we possibly can, and deliver those outcomes that we at MGM pride ourselves on being able to deliver.
No question. Well, as a journalist, I appreciate you talking to me, so thanks very much. Thanks for joining us on the GGB Podcast. If you want to read more about this issue or any issue in the gaming industry, read our magazine, GGB Magazine, or visit ggbmagazine.com. For weekly updates on the gaming industry, subscribe to GGB News. For more information, visit ggbnews.com. I hope you enjoyed the interview, and we'll see you next week on the Global Gaming Business Podcast.